chapter 6. Do one more quick review. This is some things I think if we practice this year, I think we'll have not just a successful, but I think a great year. Number one, remember we talked about charitable deeds. Put that on your calendar. Do charitable deeds. Charitable deeds does something for you that nothing else in the world can do. It gives you a feeling of significance, and it gives you a feeling that you matter. And everybody should have some sort of charitable deed. I think some of the most happy people on the planet are people who just always are considering others and have some kind of charitable deed they're looking to give. You know, that's part of the great commandment, it, loving your neighbor as yourself. So charitable deeds should be on your schedule for this year. Number two is prayer. You know, there should have a time and a place where you meet with God, and hopefully throughout the day that you pray. And he says with charitable deeds, there's great reward. And with prayer, there is great reward from God. And not only is it great, but he'll reward you openly where people can see that you live a blessed life. And then he gives us the model prayer, how to pray. Then we talked about forgiveness. And one of the greatest things I think we can do in life is forgive those that and have the kind of grace that God had for us when it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He went to the cross for us, not knowing if we would accept this grace or not, but he went anyway. And maybe that's what Jesus' hesitant moment was seeing all the sinners and thinking, is anyone going to really receive this? I've poured myself into 12 for 3 years, and look at them. I mean, here I'm going to the cross, and they're cursing and denying and lying. They don't even know me. They're scattering like sheep. One of them sold me out. I'm not sure who I'm dying for here. Maybe that was some of his thoughts. But to forgive, and let me just say this about forgiveness. Forgiveness is just simply a choice. You have the power through Jesus Christ to forgive if you want to. So we can never have the excuse of, I just can't forgive. Maybe you can't forget it right away, but if you forgive, the forgetting part will come in time. And then we talked about living a fasted life and, you know, living a life of moderation, whatever we do, whether it's playing too much or working too much or eating too much or eating not enough, live a fasted life, a life that says, you know what, I'll take care of my health, my finances, my relationships. I won't say everything or spend everything or eat everything. You know, I'll live in moderation, to live a fasted life. And those are just good things to practice. One of the things I have discovered, if you don't take care of your body now, you'll take care of it later through repair. So take care of your body. How many knows you got one set of teeth? I guess the front teeth, you got two. But for the most part, you got one. You know, floss. If you don't have floss in your cabinet, go get you some. Be a good steward over your body. That's living a fasted life. You can take care of them now, or you can take care of them in the jar later. And he says, if you do that, again, in verse 18, your Father will reward you openly. There's blessing for taking care of what God's given us. And then last week, we talked about the measure, or where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And the way that you figure out where your treasure is look at your daily planner. What's on the schedule? That's where your treasure is whatever you're doing consistently all the time. That's where your treasure is. You may say, for instance, it's with family, but if family is not very much on your schedule, you know, 30 minutes in the evening with a little TV along with it, I don't know how valuable family is to you, you know. So if you say it's a value of yours, look on your calendar. It's an easy process, and see what's on your calendar. And that your values that you claim and I claim should be on our calendar. We should be able to look at it and say, I say I treasure this, and I can show you where it's on my calendar on a daily basis, weekly basis. It's consistent with what I'm saying. And I think every year we need to do that. Around the first of the year, this is when I try to reflect and get back in, you know, my values. Is it really where I'm living? Is it on my schedule? And so if you haven't done that, make sure, because he said you cannot serve two masters. You know, we can't serve God and his righteousness and all the things that we want to do. How many knows it took effort to get up today and come to church? Because it's a value, isn't it? It's a value. If it wasn't a value, you'd be home with the rest of the folks, right? Laid up, you know, tending to self instead of coming and worshiping God. So that's a value. That's what brought you here today. So today, let's look at verse 25. Therefore, this is how many knows when it's in red, who said it? That's where Jesus said it in. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. How many would just say we could stop right there and go ahead and have an altar call? Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Hanging upside down in a car, all in all, it's been a pretty good day. Years ago, I preached a message, and I did a silly little thing, and people remembered it for years. And it wasn't too long after we moved in this building, so it was many years ago. But there was a song came out about that time. It said, don't worry, be happy. And I put, in Jesus. Remember that? Some of you remember that? Because you haven't brought that up for years later, you know. You'd come up singing, and I guess maybe on a stressful occasion, don't worry, be happy in Jesus. And that's what I thought about that little commercial. It's just been a pretty good day, all in all. Don't worry about your life, Jesus said. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Just a little note of caution here. When Jesus was writing this, they didn't have McDonald's and KFC and all the stuff that we eat. So it's not saying don't worry about putting junk in your body. It's not what it's saying. For all you that junk food junkies that thought, this is what there's my key, right? Don't worry about it. I'm just going to eat it. It's not what he's saying, is it? He's saying don't worry about it. And we could translate this literally into the economy and where your food's coming from and where your clothes is coming from and where your house is coming from. And, you know, in other words, don't worry about it. Be good stewards so you don't have to worry about it. God will supply if we'll be a good steward over what he's given us and give back to the kingdom. I don't know how it works, but I do know this. If you give what God said to give, somehow or another, it goes farther than it does if you're trying to keep God's portion and make it on that. And I know that doesn't make sense in the economic world, but I'm just telling you, it's a fact. It happens when you learn how to give God his portion. And then we look at people like, you know, the people that are wealthy, and maybe they're not Christian, they're not. There is a side of that that says, you know what, don't look like they're worrying, and they've got all these millions of dollars or billions of dollars, and they're not Christians. You know, here's part of why you look at and you see them. That is, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And these guys, most of these guys and girls that have fortunes, you find that they give most of their time to their fortune. Steve Jobs, I'm not sure about his spiritual walk, but I know he was very wealthy, but one of his things was at the end of his day was, I wish I had spent more time with my family. I thought, I don't want to get to the end of my rope and say, I wish I'd have spent more time with family. In fact, one guy says, you'll never hear anybody on their dying bed say, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office, dadgummit. So the things you value, you know, but don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't stress. And then I love what he says. Look at the birds. And I've talked about this not long ago. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. In other words, and I just noticed since I was preaching this today, and I thought I left my house and down the street there was a couple of geese over here. One of them's standing up and one of them's laying down. And it's already up this morning early. It's about 8 something. And then I went on down the street, and there was a little group of blackbirds over here, and they'd found something that would, I don't know if it was roadkill or frog or I don't know what it was, but they were just taking turns, and they'd hop around, and I was in the right lane, they're in the left lane, so they're just there, and they're cautious, but they're at work. I mean, they're at work, and they're up early. You know, you heard going to bed with the chickens. Well, the birds go to bed pretty early, and they get up early, and they work hard, and so they're at work getting their, oh, look. You know, God supplied us something here, and they're just, you know, taking turns, getting a bite and hopping around and watching. They're city birds, so they're street smart. And so, you know, Charlie's over here pecking, and Bill's over here saying, I'm looking. Car! Car! They got it figured out, you know. You go to Sonic, there's birds in there. It's the fast food birds, you know. And they're there, and they're waiting for somebody to throw something out. You know, they're working. Now, it says, you know, they don't sow. They're not out there planting. I've never seen a bird, you know, getting a seed and planting it along. And you've never seen a bird storage. You know, they don't store. And so he said they don't do any of that. He said, but, you know, your heavenly Father feeds them. And so what was ever run over in the road, was that an accident or was that God's provision? Everything's got to go sometime, right? And so, you know, and he says to you and me, he looks at us and when he says, look at the birds, then he looks at us and he says, you're more valuable than birds in God's eyes. God didn't die for birds. He died for you. He died for me. And he said, you're more valuable than birds. Stop stressing. God cares. God wants to help you. He wants to take care of you, you know. And here's what we do. We think other people are called to take care of us. You know, I see kids mooching off their parents forever. You know, kids taking their parents to court to sue over stuff. You know, it's you know, God said, I'll be your provider. We train them up, and then God should be the provider. But not the system, the welfare system or the whatever. You know, God, you're more valuable, and your Father feeds them. I thought, you know, it doesn't say that they don't sow and they don't store, but it doesn't mean that they don't do a lot of things, right? You know, squirrels store up, pack rats. Have you ever seen? You know, I grew up in the country, and my dad, I can remember, he would buy a whole cattle ranch of their pecan crop, and I guess they didn't harvest them or what, and so he would give them so much money. And for that whole ranch, he could just drive around. And on Saturdays sometimes, I could remember going out and we'd take a big picnic lunch. And it was all fun to us. It was work to him. But as kids, it was fun. And he had this big tractor, the big long arm. And it would go up to a pecan tree. And it had a little belt. And so it would just, you know, do this number. And it would hit that tree like this, just fast. And he had tarps laid out everywhere around the tree. And it's just like it's raining pecans. To a young kid, that was like, cool, you know. Just to see that. And then he'd roll those tarps up and pour them in these big sacks and sell them. And every once in a while, he would show us as kids, there'd be like a big heaping of brush and things. And I don't know how he knew, maybe just because he was such a woodsman. He loved to hunt and fish, and he was always in the woods if he wasn't working. And it'd be a Saturday, and he'd take us out. But he knew where the pack rats were, maybe little trails, I'm not sure what but he'd open that brush and sometimes you'd find like 50 pounds of pecans. I remember one day when I grew up and I was reflecting back on that and I was thinking, man, he'd find that sometime and bring them home and I thought, ooh, and as a kid, the pack rats go putting his mouth and going over and putting it down in, and as a kid, I go, you know, and I'm sure the pack rat, when he got home, was going, you know. So, they store. You know, they do store. They don't sow. They didn't sow that. But I'm sure when the pecan crop grows and it's looking, there's so many. Can you imagine how happy a pack rat? If you're a pack rat, how every pecan he's taking. Man, this is a good year. Thank you, Lord. But he said the birds, they don't even do that. They don't have a savings in their 401k, and they don't have all of that. But here's the secret with the birds. They get up every day, every morning early. They get to bed every night early so they can get up and they can be a bird. Remember what I told you a while back, Lori Beth Jones said, human beings are the only living creatures that entertain unemployment. I think that's such a powerful statement, isn't it? I didn't see one bird with a little sign on the corner this morning. We'll work for you know, bugs. Didn't see one. You'll never see one. Because they're not looking for you and to me. They're looking to the Creator that says, I will feed you. Isn't it amazing? It doesn't matter if it's raining. They get up and they go to work. They go out and they hunt bugs. And they go out and anything that moves. You know, I've watched them out from my yard, and something moves, and they're just, whoom, they're on it. You know, like food. You know, and here they go. But they're diligent. They don't sow, and they don't have bank accounts or savings accounts, and they don't store like the pack rats, but they believe, and God said, and if God said He'd feed them, they just believe it, and they get up every morning, and they go be a bird. Listen, if you're unemployed, let me just help you a little bit. Just go out and help somebody. Don't quit with your charitable deeds. Do something. Be as smart as the bird. Just get up and go on and out and act like you got something going on. Here's something I might even suggest that I think would be wonderful if you're not employed. Sit down and think of what you would want to do. You say, man, I would love to do this. And if you're unemployed or unhappy and just barely scraping by, when you get a chance, go out and wherever it is, you said, I would love to do this. Go over to that and just volunteer somewhere. Just show up and say, hey, man, I would love to be a volunteer here. What could I do to help you around here? Something that you would love to do. And maybe, just maybe, if you're faithful, you're sowing into the thing you would love to do. Maybe somewhere somebody would say, you know, this guy's pretty good. This girl's pretty good. I think I'm going to hire them. And now all of a sudden you got a salary doing what you love to do instead of stressing and worrying. The birds, you look at the birds and the ones that chirp, they just chirp. On our track, there's a mockingbird. And if you go up there in the mornings, you can just know he's going to be sitting there singing the song. Just every morning. Because he's a bird. That's the gift God gave him, is to act like a bird. It's to get up and do what birds do every day. How many knows you're made in God's image. And it's His likeness. And you've got brains, and you've got talent, and you've got skills. And He said, get up and be what I've created you to be every day. And don't worry. Don't stress. Stress can kill us. Verse 27, he says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubic to his stature? One cubic. Worry will not grow us 1 ounce, will it? It may put on some pounds because we eat and we stress. And he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider, then he goes on from birds to flowers. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. In other words, here again, they don't do any labor. You'll never see a flower working like a bird's out working and doing and trying to. The flower doesn't get up and work. And a flower doesn't, when it says spin, it doesn't mean they sew their clothes. They don't sew and make their little bonnets to go on them. You know, they get up every morning and they're just a flower. They're being who God created them to be. They're taking in the nutrients from the ground that God supplied and being a flower. They're being what God created them to be. And he said, I want to tell you something. They don't sew their clothes. They don't work. They don't do any kind of labor. And he said, but even at that, he says, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? And then he gives the key here. Oh, you of little faith. Listen, stress and worry comes from lack of faith, not from somebody else or not from the economy. That's good preaching, brother. Amen. Thank you. Well, I mean, really, we want to blame everybody, right? I'm stressed out. What are you so stressed? Because they said and what they said and because what they done and they upset me and because, you know, they told me and then, you know, what? No, the fact is we got to take ownership and we got to say, I'm stressed out because I don't have faith for this situation. When we're stressed, it's your fault. I don't know what you're stressed about today, but it's not anybody else's fault. It's not your family, it's not your mom, it's not your dad, it's not your boss, it's not all your exes and texts. It's your fault. It's my fault when I stress. Because he said it's a lack of faith. Stress is a lack of faith. It's not a lack of things or from what somebody said. It's from a lack of faith. And he put it pretty powerful, didn't he? It's a lack of faith. It's not something outside. And I'm telling you, if we could get to the place where we believe that, where we believe God, how many knows if Jesus said this stress is a lack of faith, how many knows what it is? And I know what you're thinking. Well, he never met so-and-so. Right? He never met the person that I'm talking about here. You know, he just never saw that. Well, he said, it's not that. It's just a lack of faith. You got to have faith. And so he gives us best examples that, you know, from nature. He says the birds don't sow. The birds don't put into barns. The flowers don't work. They don't sew their own clothes. I have some pansies out front, and most of the people in my neighborhood, there's no color in our neighborhood. And I like pansies. You know, they're real colorful, and they grow in the winter, and they call them pansies because they can't take the heat. Now, if it was reversed, they could call them toughies, right? In the winter, freeze comes and they kind of lay over. Well, this year, and man, I've been very diligent about putting feeding them and making sure they got water, but they just don't look very good. And I don't know what it is, because I've usually raised these in the winter, but they just don't look very good. And so I told them the other day. And you think that's strange? Jesus told a tree one time. So I'm just being like Jesus, okay? I told them the other day, I was watering, and I said, look, here's the deal. If you guys don't straighten up, you're out of here. You understand? I've given you food. I'm giving you water. If you need more water, just let me know. But this is all I can do. And if you don't straighten up, I'm going to pull you out of the ground. And I told Janet, she said, oh, don't pull them out of the ground. She don't water. She just drives up and looks at them. Yeah, it looks good. Don't look good. You know, whatever. But I was feeling a little like Jesus. I thought, if you don't do something, it is time for you to produce. It's, you know, you got the food, you got the water, you know, and because I thought it takes a little effort, but it's just worth the effort to me to watch them come up, and I love the color and the beauty, but they don't have to sow that color. God gave it to them. They don't have to work and labor, but they do have to look like a flower. They need to suck that stuff up that I'm giving them and take advantage of it. And it says right on the bottle, this is for their kind of stuff, you know. So, and if they don't like that kind of food, they're going to lose their roots, you know. Is that the flowers being channeled through you? Is that, it's too warm. Too warm. Okay. All right. I'll give them a little cold time and see what they do. All right. I'll tell them, you know, there's a woman in our church that has grace. And so you've got a few cold days to prove yourself. All right. Then he says in verse 32, therefore, do not worry. Do not worry. Now, watch, there's a key word here I want to give you. Do not worry, saying. Can I tell you something? When you worry, if you're stressed out really bad, this will help you tremendously. If you're really stressed out really bad, don't say you are. Listen, I'm telling you, that seems so little, but I'm telling you, he put that in here, and he says, therefore, when you worry, saying. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you say, well, who am I going to tell? Tell God in your closet when you're praying. But he says, therefore, do not worry, say. I can remember having a brother-in-law, and he had a stressful phrase that he used over and over and over before he lost everything. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. He must have said it a million times. And I think your heart and your whole being starts thinking, I don't know what we're going to do. Instead of saying, my God shall meet all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, say what Jesus and the Bible teaches us to say, and don't speak stress when you're stressed. You won't blow up. You may think you will, but you won't blow up. Olin came in my office this morning, and the door was open, and he got in. And he went to talking about something, and he said, I sat at home all week, and I don't get to vent this stuff. And I said, well, just get on your soapbox and vent. And he did just a little, and he left, you know. And but that's the way we are. That's how when we have something and we just think we had a well, I'm telling you, it'll help some of you if you just stop saying your stresses. And if you'll start saying what Jesus said, he says, you know, you're saying, oh, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Oh, you know, he said, and watch verse 32. For after all these things, after all the things that we stress about, he said, the Gentiles seek. In other words, unbelievers is what we would call them. We are Gentiles, but we're under the grace. We're under his new covenant now. In that respect, we belong to him. You know, the blood's been applied to us. We are his heirs and joint heirs. And so now we're just as much Jew, I believe, as the Jew. Because he's adopted us. We cry out, Abba, Father. And so, but he says, you know, the people that don't have a God, those are the ones that stress and say how stressed they are and confess how stressed they are. Now, I know if somebody asks you, how are you doing, and you want prayer, you know, just it's okay to say, you know, I'm facing this problem. Pray with me because I'm believing that God, you know, put some kind of affirmation with it. I'm believing that God is going to, you know, and state you a verse. In fact, go with me to Philippians 4th chapter. This is one of our favorite verses around here. We visit that every once in a while, but, you know, this just fits today. It fits really well. Philippians chapter 4. What we say, listen, what we say matters, doesn't it? Friend of mine sent a little text to me or an email this past week. And it was so funny. It was a little dog, and he was laying on his back on a couch. And up at the head of the couch was another dog sitting in a chair with his pad and his pen, like he was the counselor. And the only caption on the little cartoon was, "They moved my bowl." Here's the dog stressing because they moved his bowl. Sometimes I hear problems that are brought to my attention. I think, so they moved your bowl. So what? How many knows life is full of changes? It is full of changes. For some of you young people, enjoy your healthy body that doesn't ache and hurt. You may not have as much stuff as we have, but boy, you've got something to be thankful for. Right now I have some pads in my shoe that help my arch and help my heel. I'm in my 50s. I shouldn't have to wear pads in my shoe. But I love to walk and I love to exercise, and it kind of hurts it when I do that, but I'm not stopping. I told it, just straighten up. We're exercising, okay? And then I'll do everything to cushion it and things I can, but I value exercise. So whatever you're saying that's not edifying, he says, just stop. That's what people that don't have a God say, not Christians. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when? What does always mean? When you feel like it? Monday through Friday, 8 to 5? What does always mean? Rejoice in the Lord always. How can we speak negative and stressful things if he says we need to rejoice in the Lord always? Somebody told me the other day, oh, you're always happy. I said, well, I can't help it. I got a God that loves me. And I'm not always happy. That's my family. But I try to always be happy, you know? I mean, I think we're just such a blessed people. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he says, be anxious for nothing. So we're rejoicing always. We're being anxious for nothing. But, he says, instead, here's what he's saying. They're saying, I don't have, and what are we going to do? Here's what Christians, he said, but by everything, by prayer, talking to God and supplication, telling him exactly what's in your heart, in your closet, as he stated in Matthew 6, that your requests, with thanksgiving, that's important, isn't it? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let it be made known to God. So, we're not anxious for anything, Paul says, but we should take it to God and be specific, but we should accompany that with thanksgiving. And Jesus taught us in Matthew 6 when we're praying, hallowed be thy name, the praise aspect is there. And so, that thanksgiving should be, that's a choice. Even when we're going through things, we're upside down in our car, you know, wherever it is, we can still be, look at the good side. Let your requests be made known to God, not to everybody in your sphere of influence. He says, and here's the fruit of that, when we're not confessing our stressfulness, our aggravations, our doubts, here's the fruit of it. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You may not even understand why you're so happy and peaceful in this situation, because used to, before you had a God and before he was your Lord, you acted this way, but now you don't act that way anymore. Because now you have a God that loves you and provides for you. And you know that he's on your side. He said that peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a heart shield. And then he goes into, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. See, this is what we should speak. If it's truth, this is about God's word of healing and helping and power and authority and blessing. And if it's noble, if it's just, if it's pure, whatever's good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And how many knows whatever you meditate on is what you're going to talk about? You ever know anybody and they're just the one? I have a brother and he's one track guy, really. I mean, whatever he's into, he's been into cattle and then he's been into fighting chickens for others. He didn't do that, but he just liked the chickens and he's been into hunting dogs, and he's been into horses, and now he's on to raising big Brammer bulls. You go out in his house, and there's just big Brammer bulls everywhere around his house. And all I would have to do for my brother is just drive up and say, how's the bull business? And I mean, he'd take off. He can tell you probably every bloodline of every bull that was ever in Oklahoma, he just studies it. He pours himself into whatever he's doing, and he wants to talk about it. That's the way we should be as Christians when it comes to the Word of God. If it don't say it in the Word, we just don't talk about it. If it said don't stress, we just don't stress. If it said give God praise and be anxious, we're not anxious and we give God praise and everything. If he said rejoice, we're just going to get up and rejoice. Well, what are you rejoicing about? I'm under the commandments of the Holy God. Do you mind? And I'm telling you, it works. How many believes the Bible works? I'm telling you, the Bible works. And we don't need to go around being stressful people all the time. Yes, we're all going to fall into things that we're going to have to deal with and problems we're going to have to overcome, but we don't need to stress all the time. We just don't need to do it. Jesus said don't do it. Paul said don't do it. So we just shouldn't do it. How many knows, if we wanted to just compare apples to apples as far as a hard life, Paul could talk some stories, couldn't he? Left him on the side of the road for dead. All these whippings that he took on his back, shipwrecked, day and a half in the sea. I mean, he could tell us about it. He could compare some of the things that he went through if we wanted to talk about prison. But Philippians is where Paul, he was in prison when he wrote that about rejoice in the Lord always. He wasn't sitting in the palace the day he wrote that. And so it's a guy that knows that, and remember at midnight, he and Silas were in the prison, and remember what they began to do? They began to praise the Lord, didn't they? They weren't anxious, but they just began to give God praise. And God intervened right in the midst of their, and God still wants to do that for us. Right in the midst of your stress, right in the midst of an actual trial that you're going through, lift up your heart and to praise unto him, and stop saying the problem. Stop repeating the problem. Stop rehearsing the problem. He said, just don't do it. The ungodly people do that. And then he says in verse 32 back in Matthew 6, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. How many knows that God knows what we need today? He's up on fashion and style. He knows all the latest brands and trends, and he knows what we need. He knows what we need. And here, this is what he finishes off this particular talk with. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." God, what is right about this? What is the right thing I should do in this? Seek first the kingdom of God and His path. It's kind of like Jesus at the in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. What is your will in this, God? I'm just seeking you. I don't want to stress, but I'm seeking your will. And when you give me peace about what you want me to do, I'm going to get up and I'm going to profess that I've been before God, that I'm walking in peace and I'm okay. I'm in the will of God. Now, if I didn't have a God, the Bible said I'd be like the Gentiles, but I'm not like the Gentiles. I have a God that loves me. He knows everything I need, and He's going to help me. He's going to help me. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all, everybody say all. All of these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way, His thoughts on this particular matter, and when we find that, all these things will be added unto us. And then he says, oh, and by the way, if everything's good today, for some of you that everything's good today, I know what you're doing. You're stressing about what will come down the pike. We all know people like that, right? You ask them, you know, they're so blessed and everything's good in their life, and you say, what's wrong with you? Well, I'm just afraid this is going to happen. I've heard people say, everything's going so good in my life, I'm just afraid something's going to happen. What, you want us to pray that something bad will happen so you don't have to worry about something being so good? Or, you know, I mean, really. And that's what he says in verse 34. Now, listen, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Some of you's got it really good today. That's you can't stop there. Oh, everything's good. Why should you worry? Well, it could happen. It could be down there. He says, don't do that. What could happen? Here's what I'd like for you to do. If you don't think about tomorrow, think of the blessings that could be there. Think about a day when you don't have to wear something in your shoe. Think about a day when God could heal that, you know. Think about how much better it could be. Even though it's good now, just think about how you're enjoying this and how it's God's will and you're just right and it's so good and it's just going to get better through the power and the grace of our holy God. And Jesus says, you know, I just know people, and some of you, if you don't have anything to worry about today, you'll just take it on out to tomorrow. You'll just stress about tomorrow. We have a happy holiday, right? And people are stressing there. Oh, how many's coming? What are we going to do? And hope nobody says anything wrong. And, you know, we just stress about something that should be happy. Huh? Another friend sent me a little text, and I'll close with this. I got to clean it up just a little bit, but it's funny. Because there's always going to be, I mean, there's always going to be little punks and people that are just going to try to push your buttons. And I mean, but you don't have to stress about them. You don't have to. But it's a really funny story. He said there's an old coal miner, or gold miner, and he was been panning for gold. And he came into the town, and he had an old mule. It's packed mule, and he tied him up out in front of the only saloon in this little town. And he says, just about time he got him tied up and he was dusting the dust off his face, a young gunslinger came out, and he's got a bottle of whiskey in one hand, a six-shooter on his other side, and he says, "Say, old man, you know how to dance?" And the old gold miner said, "No, sir, never took to dancing, never cared about it." Said the young, smart gunslinger drawed his six-shooter and just began to shoot at the toes of his boot, and he began to just dance, trying to keep his toes from being blown off. And when he heard click, the last bullet had been fired, and he put his gun in there, and everybody's laughing. And he turned his back on the old gold miner and headed back into the saloon. And he heard click, click. The old man had a double-barrel shotgun. He said, "Let me ask you something, sonny. Have you ever kissed a mule's rear?" And the young gunslinger said, "No, sir, but I've always wanted to." Now, if you tell that joke, don't tell them your preacher told you on Sunday, okay? They'll say, "What?" I'm just telling you, there are always going to be punks in the world. There's always going to be things that's going to happen to us. But you know what? Just do your little dance and wait. God's going to make it okay. Somewhere, God's going to make it okay. We've all lost loved ones that we just thought we wish we hadn't lost them. We've all went through trials we wish we just hadn't had to. But God has promised that, you know what? If you'll seek me first, I'll add all these things to you in time. Let's trust God this year for a great year. Let's pray. Father, give us faith. We don't want to hear when we stand before you, you know what? Your problem wasn't this or that. It was just you didn't have faith. You didn't use the faith that I gave you. You didn't have any faith because you didn't read the Word and stay. You weren't a student of the Word, because my reading my Word and hearing my Word builds your faith. You didn't do what I told you, and now it's time to square up. We don't want to hear that. This year, Lord, we just lay our stresses and worry down to you. And I pray, God, when we do stress, and we'll all get there, that we'll remember you where you said, you know what? People without a God, that's what they say, but you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't be saying and speaking your worries and doubt. You should be speaking the word of the living God. And I just pray that you'll give us a challenge, Lord, through the remembrance of the Holy Spirit. Bring this back to our remembrance, that every time we go through a stressful situation, we'll begin to speak life and not doubt, and not what our problems are. But we'll begin to speak your word, and we'll go to the word, and we'll find where you give us a promise, and we'll hold on to your promise, and we'll speak the word of God until life comes, until solutions come, until blessings come, because we're seeking you first and seeking the kingdom of God first, and all these things, according to your word, will be, not should, could, or might be, but will be, you said, added to us. We take you at your word. We believe you. Now help us to practice it as children of the living God. And all the church said,